you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think about this as a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Hey, everybody, bust out the liquor and the condoms. It's Crab Diving Friday. Unless you're a lesbian, then you don't need the condoms, unless you're into them. Welcome. My name is Patrick Vile. I'm coming at you from Los Angeles, California.
And my name's Ryan Pfeiffer. I'm reporting live from Gulf Breeze, California. Can we take that one more time?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, everybody, please turn off your radios, turn off your cell phones.
Back to one.
Back to one. Ryan Pfeiffer from Pensacola, Florida. How's it going there?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I got a whole house full of relatives here. You'll probably be able to hear in the background.
Nice.
Yeah, like, having fun.
Do you have to watch your language while you're on the air today?
I don't know. Unless my mother is tuned in, you know, unless everybody's having a little Orphan Annie moment.
Sitting around
the laptop, listening in the living room. I think I'm okay.
It's on the Victrola.
Yeah.
Ryan's on the box. It makes noise.
Should we put a show on the Crab Diving Network that is like a Little Orphan Annie? Because there are some serialized podcasts out there these days that are fairly popular.
Well, there's that one. There's one called Serial, and I actually read it's the biggest podcast in the universe. I read an article about it yesterday that they just don't think you can't use that as an example of how podcasts can go crazy, because they think that the woman that hosts it is the reason that it goes crazy. She's just so good at what she does with it and the way she narrates it. They're not sure that they can replicate that.
Is she better than we are?
Well, she's doing something 1,000% different, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a serialized, fictionalized deal, isn't it?
It can only be 100%.
Right.
Hey, listen, any kind of math fact that I can be right on, I'm going to take it.
That's good.
Very few things.
contact us during the show if you like. You can use the Twitter. We are at Crab Diving on Twitter. We're also, give us a call, maybe. I don't know if it'll work, but 323-601-LIBS, 323-601-5427 is the get in touch with us phone number. You can also call that 24/7, leave us a message. I've noticed some other, I want to start doing that. If people leave us messages, I'm going to put a message on our phone number that says you might, by leaving a message, you consent to having your message played on the air.
Oh, that would be just amazing.
And maybe we'll get some love on the...
some love.
On the... I'm putting air quotes around love.
That won't be any fun to play.
Already today on the Facebook, when I was able to roll out of my deathbed, I saw that there's somebody who's commenting on the Satanist display in Florida.
Oh, really?
On our Facebook. Go to facebook.com/crabdiving. Join the conversation. We had put up a story about the Satanic Temple there in Florida.
I've been there like four or five times already to the temple. I've been there more than I've been to Walmart.
I think to be in the Satanic Temple church, you know, they're not the Satanists. They don't believe that Lucifer is God. They don't believe in any of it. They just pick the name Satanic Temple, I think, really, to just twist the dagger in the religious extremists here in the country, because these are the guys who are running around trying to make sure that they get a statue next to the Ten Commandments at the Oklahoma courthouse. They want to make sure that they get to distribute Satanist coloring books at the same time or with the same amount of time that the Christians get to sling Bibles in public schools in the
South. and it's kind of funny, you know. It's a Satanist temple. There's something hilarious about it,
right? And I think they chose that name even though they don't believe in Satan, and they're not they don't worship Satan, they don't worship anything.
And liberal atheists are some of the funniest people on the planet.
Yeah.
It's just the fatalism that we kind of know that the only thing waiting for us in the afterlife is a big pile of fertilizer.
Or yeah, we become that big pile of fertilizer.
I am mulch. All mulch.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I think that's cool.
No, I love mulch.
The Satanic Temple, anyway, petitioned in Florida because they wanted a display up at the Capitol where all the other ridiculous religious displays are, where none should be. But, you know, because the Christians have to have their nativity scene and their follow Jesus.
But a bunch of little babies. I need my nativity scene at the courthouse.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't you just put it up in your front yard and be happy with that? Isn't that enough?
Right. But they'll scream and claim that the Satanists are trying to do that, too.
Persecution. That's
absolutely not what's happening. That is absolutely not what's happening. They say that the in the public sphere, in public schools, in courthouses, places like that, we shouldn't have Jesus shoved down our throats. We shouldn't have any display shoved down our throats. But there's more of us. Fuck you.
I'm oppressed.
So we put a story up on Facebook about it, and I wrote, Satanic Temple approved for Florida. None of the religious displays belong there, but at least it's a win for religious freedom and the struggle against the tyranny of the majority, meaning the Christian majority. I didn't put Christian in there.
Yeah, you didn't want to incite a riot.
Well, this woman responds, Kara.
Yes.
And she says, hello, religious freedom means all, including this disturbing to me satanic display, are welcome. Religious freedom is the freedom to believe what you will or not if you don't. Religious freedom is not freedom from the voice of those who believe.
Yes, it is.
In some cases, yes, it is. Your freedom of religion ends where mine begins.
Hello?
is
that what she says? Hello?
She did. And in fact, apparently she called us, or I guess I wrote this one, she called me a nitwit.
Well, I want to be a nitwit as well.
Because later on she typed, I apologize, there's no need for me to call anyone a nitwit. I have removed that part from my comment. I'm pissed. I'm pissed that I didn't see that quickly enough, because that would have made me smile. Somebody called me a nitwit.
Yeah. Good for you, dullard, for being civil. She took out nitwit. Wow.
But then go to Facebook. I'm not going to read what I responded, but it's one of those too long, don't read, probably. But it's ridiculous how she thinks. No, she's got a little bit of sanity in her response where she says, all are welcome, including this disturbing to me satanic display.
What's so disturbing about it, by the way? It's kind of funny.
Disturbing about it.
Like a sixth grader made it.
Right. It's a plastic angel doll that they got at the dollar store, a big hunk of cotton.
Right.
And some painted cardboard flames. It says, Happy Holidays from the Satanic Temple. That's all it says.
It's what I like to call hilarious.
And that's the exact display that they wanted to put up last year. And they were turned down by the Florida, whoever decides
right
what goes up there, because it was offensive.
I don't see how this is offensive. If I had the money, I'd put up that the gigantic Baphomet with the big boner, the big devil boner. What was that? That's hilarious. I love that.
That was I don't think that has anything to do with a religious display. That was somebody put a devil with a big giant red hard cock up on a public. There's like some public square in, where was it? It was up in Washington, wasn't it? It was in Seattle or something?
I don't know.
Vancouver, maybe?
Like, sounds like some of those hippies up there would do.
It might have been Vancouver. It might have been Canada. And
Hoser.
But there was apparently there's a dais there, or whatever you call it, a stand that some previous statue had been on. There's nothing there now. So somebody took it upon themselves to put a statue up there of, I think it was really a mannequin, you know, painted red with, and then they put horns on it. And I think did they give him a joint too? Or I don't remember.
Yeah, they did. They gave him a joint and a
big, giant, hard, throbbing, satanic schlong.
Enjoy, Satanist. This one's for you.
That one didn't last.
No.
I don't know that, we should probably try to follow up on that story. I don't know that they found out who put that up ever. Like, it just appeared in the middle of the night some night. Or where did it go? I remember I said, if we won the lottery, I want to bid on that motherfucker and put it in the yard.
I want to put it up in the front yard. That would be the best.
Up on the roof.
Oh my gosh. it would be visible from space.
That's right. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, be great.
Although this neighborhood, there's a lot of Jesus slinging around in this neighborhood.
Why?
You know, who's out in force are
the Catholics?
No, they don't knock on the door. They get you in other insidious ways. The witnesses.
People.
The witnesses.
Oh yes. Jehovah's and the like.
There's a lot in this neighborhood.
I know. I don't understand that. And listen, quit killing the rainforest with these watchtower pamphlets.
Yeah.
We get it. It's weird religious mumbo jumbo.
And they set up their traps on the corners here sometimes. They don't even necessarily go door to door because so many of the buildings here in this neighborhood have gates in the front that nobody's going to buzz them in.
You know what the crazy thing is about those Jehovah's Witness dudes? They always are in like Sunday go to meeting clothes, no matter the temperature.
Right, right.
They're in a suit. If it's like 95 degrees, they look miserable.
And having said that, very nice people.
Oh yeah, they're nice. They're just, you know, handing out crazy brochures on the corner. I mean, it seems like an odd way to spend an afternoon. You know what I mean? Like trying to get people to believe in what you believe in that you've never seen, that you just have faith that exists, you know?
Yeah, see, that's like this woman that responded on Facebook. What she's saying, but we have the freedom to tell everyone about our religion. And, well, yeah, to a point. I'm one of these. I don't believe that anyone should be standing on a street corner with a bullhorn yelling anything.
Oh my God.
I don't.
That's our, there are two corners near us where that happens all the time. And it's with a bullhorn. It's so loud and it's intrusive.
It's annoying as fuck. And, but that's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But I wouldn't want Richard Dawkins standing on the corner with a bullhorn, spouting atheist stuff.
Yeah, I don't want
anybody.
Hilarious.
I don't want anybody on the fucking corner.
But it would be funnier.
He's not real funny. Well, sometimes he is. Sometimes he is.
No, I guarantee you, Richard Dawkins is funnier than the funniest Jesus believer. Because those guys,
he's got some problems.
There's just a humor is for shit. I was at I did comedy last night at Shooters. It's a bar in a bowling alley dedicated to the NFL team that starts with an R and has the word skins in it. I will not say it.
The Ramskins?
No. Come on. Yeah. Anyway, I was.
Oh, hi, Zoe.
I was, you know, musing about religion up on stage. I was like, what would piss you guys off more? To hear that God doesn't exist or that God is black. Which one? And this lady on the bar, she thought of it. She was like, oh, if he doesn't exist, that makes me more upset. I was like, then he's black. And she was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She thought, though. She had to think. They had to do some ciphering in that audience.
Oh, God, that was the best.
That's crazy. Did they? You weren't. Well, you obviously weren't killed.
No. The scene, it was like I went up at midnight at a bar in a bowling alley, and you're really not going to find a lot of people to offend there. They're either, one, so drunk, you could throw a chair at their face, and they're not moving. And the other thing is it was all a bunch of, like, you know, younger kids with gigantic spacers in their ears.
Yeah,
is it spacer or gauges?
Yeah.
What is with that,
dude? You
can't
go back from that, can you? Like
I don't know.
I mean, I still have a hole in my ear just from that stupid earring. I can't imagine having like a big loop in your ear. That doesn't grow back. It doesn't close, does it? I wouldn't think.
I don't know. I mean, I guess on some level, the guy, you know, the dude that had it in, he was a young guy, and he obviously, I mean, this guy was very concerned with his look. He had a sleeve of tats. He had the gauges in his ears, and his hair was you know, a lot of detail was given to how the hair was colored. You know, like, this guy has this look that he's cultivated. But what's going to happen, you know, after he's done with junior college and wants to go about his life? I mean, what's he going to do with those ears? Like you said, I mean, he had big white spacers in his ears. It looked like he put a couple of Mentos in there. It's very strange.
Yeah, that's a life choice. That's you're going to have that one for a long time.
Dude, it's a safety choice. I mean, what, you're going to get that caught on something. You get a couple of loops in your fucking ears, man.
Yeah, right.
Spock. I wonder if Spock ever did that. You know, but he would have to have the spacer, the gauges on the top part of his ears, correct?
I think he had lobes.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did Spock have lobes?
I think he had lobes. He just had the pointy part at the end.
Yeah.
A little Louis Gohmert looking.
It's very strange. How do you think they decided on that, you know, in the room? When was that decision made to make the Vulcan have pointy, weird ears? Like, was that?
We have $400 for the makeup budget.
Right.
I got a pair of elf ears. Done.
Was that Gene Roddenberry's call?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they were all humanoid. I mean, they didn't have.
Oh, right.
You didn't have a lot of technology back then. A little special effects.
And that's the other thing that's odd. They did have a couple of aliens, I guess, on the Enterprise, and they were all very humanoid. Why is that? Why didn't they have a blob, like, you know, circulating around, or, you know, like a.
Well, they
like,
have occasionally, but they don't have. They can't do that. You know, they can't add tens of millions of dollars to each episode just to try to CGI some weird little ferret creature running around talking.
Did you like Pizza the Hut and Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy, I love that. That little raccoon and shit.
Oh, that raccoon was my favorite.
That was awesome. But, yeah. I mean, just technologically, I don't think it's just not cost effective to do a whole episode with the, you know, that rodent running around. Or not a rodent,
so you're
mammal.
So you're saying a sitcom starring a bunch of Ewoks is a no-go?
Well, if it's old school George Lucas guys in fuzzy suit Ewoks, yeah, fine. But if it's, like, you know, any kind of CGI stuff, that's what really starts adding up the tons of money.
Well, prepare for a musical theater moment, because I'm telling you, Ewoks hit Broadway. That would be...
They probably did. They had...
Ewoks, Endor the Musical. What
Ewoks on
that?
Ice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'd watch that.
You get every dwarf skater out there. there's got to be a niche.
Somebody's listening to this thinking, oh my God, this is my payday. Please say this isn't bullshit.
Yeah, Ewoks on Ice is going to be the payday.
Yeah. Well, you know, you expand it, though. You make it Ewoks. What are those little guys? What was the movie Val Kilmer was in? Oh, Willow. Little Willow guys. You include those, an E.T., a Yoda. You got a whole fucking menagerie of little people on ice. I think that's...
So every...
They got to be furry. They got to be furry and
every
adorable.
Little character?
Every little
the
furry
Munchkins?
Character.
Are we letting the Munchkins in? There's
They're
only,
not furry enough.
I think there's only one alive.
They're not furry enough.
We'd have to recast.
We could go with a Gizmo, a Mogwai.
Mogwai
versus Ewok.
But they can't get wet after midnight or what? No.
They can't eat
after midnight.
Right.
And you can never get them wet, right?
Never. Never. Don't you remember what Mr. Miyagi told Billy or whoever the fuck that was in that movie? Who was
You're mixing your movies.
Oh yeah, yeah. Who was the caretaker? Was it Pat
remember.
Morita?
I don't remember. Was it Pat Morita?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. It was a Asian Arnold from Happy Days.
Right. Who then bailed because of after he did that Karate Kid movie, right? Didn't he bail or was he next? Who was first?
No, listen. I don't think Happy Days and the Karate Kid movies were even in the same decade.
Was Al?
Oh, yes. Al was first, and then Al quit, or maybe he died, and then Pat Morita replaced him.
Yeah. I see. I thought it was the other way around, maybe.
Al was a big star, though, right? Wasn't he was like a pitch man. He did Glad Bags, or was that Tom Bosley?
I don't remember.
Oh,
or was he the Maytag repairman, maybe? Yeah.
Welcome to the show where we talk about something
that happened 30 years ago
that no one gives a shit about.
Right.
Oh my God. I'm exposed to a 24-hour cable news network here. And I watched, listen, I finally decided I like this Rowan Farrell, this child, this little baby
really?
That has a television show. You gotta do yourself a favor and go on YouTube and find him interviewing Janice Dickinson about getting raped by Bill Cosby.
It's a hard-hitting interview?
Yeah, it's pretty compelling. I mean, it's actually really great. And at the end, Rowan's like, if you have anything that you would like to add, anything, any message you would like to send Bill Cosby, and Janice Dickinson gives the camera the double birds. and they pixelate it out. Oh, it's the best. And then she says something out and they have to bleep it all. I watched that interview, and I tell you what, I really like Janice Dickinson. She said, I mean, she's nuts.
Not a fuck is given. Not a fuck is given. Tiniest fuck.
And what she said about Bill Cosby was pretty spot on, and all the people coming forward was pretty spot on. It was just amazing. Oh, God. The clips would be worth finding. I mean, she is... Oh, my God. Bill Cosby's going to hang himself. That's my prediction. He's going to kill himself.
I don't think he's going to kill himself. I think he's going to... He's still saying they're all lies, his last... The lawsuit that came out, you know, all his people, his publicists, his toadies, all are issuing fierce denials.
He's suing people.
He's suing back?
Yes, he's countersuing somebody for $30,000 or something, you know. He's doing what Janice Dickinson said she was terrified of. That's why she never came forward until now, because she was afraid of the big, gigantic Bill Cosby machine.
Oh, and getting lawyered to death, yeah.
God, who the fuck cares about this guy? I didn't realize Bill Cosby was such a force in the entertainment business. He has one sitcom. Okay, he owned Thursday Night for a period of time. He was in Fat Albert.
Right.
And he makes a shitload of money as a comic. Okay?
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that all it takes to make you a monster that people are just terrified of?
Tons of money.
Yeah, you're right.
And shows that people watch.
Well, wasn't it a... rumor that he was going to buy NBC or some bullshit like that years ago.
Oh, God. Was it? Really? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, good for you, Janice Dickinson. I think you're great and you're batshit crazy, but well
yeah,
said.
I agree. I never thought he was that wielded that kind of power. But apparently.
Yeah, he's Bill Cosby. He's a Jell-O pudding pop. Dumbass.
But he was the, that show was must see TV night, right? That was the tent pole of that,
yes.
Thursday night, all those comedies.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
No? I don't remember.
Yes, that was it. It was I'm trying to remember. It was Bill Cosby.
Friends was in there.
No.
Or
was
that later?
No, that's later. Originally it was Bill Cosby, Family Ties, Cheers, Night Court.
Damn.
Yep. I mean, and listen, Night Court was a good show.
Night Court was a really good show.
It was no Cheers.
I like Night Court. I thought Night Court was funny. I liked them both. Cheers.
I liked it too. And what a weird sitcom if you think about it. Like, and Cheers was a weird sitcom. Not based around a family. Cheers, based around a bunch of drunks.
Yes.
And then Night Court, it's people at a night court who were all kind of, in a way, slimy. I mean, do you remember Dan, the defense attorney or something?
Yeah,
played
sure.
By John Larroquette.
John Larroquette, absolutely.
He was a big womanizer. Yeah. Who knew he would? Who knew Bill Cosby was a bigger deviant than John Larroquette's character on Night Court?
I don't think he drugged anybody on Night Court.
No, I don't think so. Well, these are just allegations against Bill Cosby.
Yeah, only 15 or 17
right.
ish accusations against him.
I watched TV today. It was more Bill Cosby news than protest news.
But yeah, if the it was still trending on Twitter, by the way, is hashtag I can't breathe and Eric Garner.
God, that makes me so sad. That's just so fucked up.
Oh, it makes me nuts. It makes me crazy. We talked about that extensively yesterday. Go to crabdiving.com to download yesterday's episode. We're also on Stitcher. We're also on iTunes.
Oh, yes. I believe all of our programming on the network is on iTunes, on Stitcher now.
All of our programming is on the Stitcher, I believe. Is Morning Wood there? Did Morning Wood get accepted?
Morning Wood was confirmed via email.
There you go. So all of our shows now that we've got going right now, and there'll be more to come soon here on the network. But we've got everything on Stitcher and on iTunes. Or just go to crabdiving.com. You can download and listen to all the shit there at your leisure.
Yeah, I listened to Morning Wood this morning, and I was able to detect just a tiniest, tiny tad of whimsy.
Get out.
And, in Rick Wood's voice. He was talking about the launch of that rocket that did something.
Very, very cool.
Orion.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. That made him happy. I was like, wow. Shit. Fucking rocket has to...
That's awesome.
It takes a rocket.
It takes a rocket. I missed this morning. I was remiss.
You're sick. What are you doing to take care of that migraine?
I've taken a fistful of pills.
Oh, really?
And in case I've got a giant bottle of Jack Daniel's sitting next to me in case I want to just finish it all.
the Jack is actually in studio?
No. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's about all I can do. I don't have any big giant mega prescriptions of really great medications. I take fistfuls of Advil and maybe a little bit of the, you know, medicinal marijuana.
Advil is a joke.
Well, yeah, that's why I take fistfuls of it, which probably, you know, means my liver is gone even more than I don't take fistfuls. I exaggerate for comedic sake, but I do.
Hyperbole.
Yeah, I do take a little bit of it.
At Vile Experience on Twitter for more hyperbole.
Speaking of comedy.
Yeah.
Your brother actually sent this story, but I had seen it and had reveled in it. I have a...
Don't let my brothers take over this fucking show, please.
I have an alert set for anything Kirk Cameron related.
Do you really?
Here on the show. So there's absolutely no fucking way I was going to miss this story. This is great. We had talked about how Kirk Cameron, who, ladies and gentlemen, you remember... is in the process of saving Christmas. Here's a few seconds of the trailer from Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked?
Hey, where's Christian? How's he doing? Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine, really. He's just not into Christmas this year, that's all.
Oh, Christian's fine. He's just not into Christmas this year, that's all.
Brilliant performances all around.
Oh, yes. Congratulations, everyone. Please, back up the Oscar truck.
Yeah, well...
My God.
Well, Kirk has... he took to... We did the story. He went to his Facebook page because he was upset about the fact that over on RottenTomatoes.com, which is a... it's a movie review site, right?
Yes. It's a movie review site for shitty movies. Is that right?
Well, all movies. All movies.
Okay.
And I think all TV, too.
So the more tomatoes you get, the more horrible your film is?
I think you Rotten Tomatoes are bad and Good Tomatoes are good.
Oh, okay. I get it.
And there's a percentage, and it crowdsources it. So everybody gets to vote and leave their reviews. And then they also aggregate all the real reviews from all the newspapers and shit, and they give a score there. So, like, here's what the reviewers say, here's what the people who go see it actually say, kind of a deal.
Oh, okay.
And
every man's take on a movie. How nice.
Right. And, you know, they try to weed out the people who are just up there like, this is a piece of shit, fuck them. You know, they try to get rid of the trolls, and they have, like, I guess they have featured people that their vote counts more or some shit. Anyway, I don't know. Who cares? But anyway, there, the Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas got maybe a lower score than the popularity of AIDS.
Oh, really?
And he was upset, went to his Facebook and was trying to rally his ninny, dumb, empty-headed, sheeple troops to go over to Rotten Tomatoes and upvote it.
Oh, okay. And
try to save it.
That well, didn't, good for Kirk.
Well, that backfired. that didn't work, huh?
Yeah.
No, some. I'm sure some asshole screen capped it. I'm sure several assholes like us screen capped it, put it on their own Facebook page, making fun of it, and we're rallying their troops to go to Rotten Tomatoes and make sure you shit on the movie.
You're just not, listen, you're just not going to beat the asshole, sarcastic liberal force on the internet through Twitter or Facebook. They're going to just take your agenda.
Oh, right. Brutal, brutal savagery on the internet. So
it's so great, like, when those some of those hashtags get hijacked by those like right-wing nut jobs that they try to have get trending on Twitter. It's
and
the
then,
best.
Yeah, then it, well, the team from Washington did that. God, it wasn't that long ago.
Oh, the blank skins?
Where they did, yeah, they did a hashtag like what the Redskins mean to me or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so dumb. How could you even, God, some of these things he's put out, people put out, you're just like, how drunk were you? And that's, you can't even excuse that. Like, if you or I put out some 3 a.m. ridiculously stoned, drunk, off our asses tweet, nobody's going to be surprised by that.
Yeah, no one's going to care.
But if during regular business hours, a public entity with millions of followers puts out something like that, I mean, you can't say the guy was drunk. You know what I mean? The guy over at the Redskins was drunk.
Well,
the R word.
You just said it. Say blank skins.
Whatever. It's ridiculous.
I know. It's all ridiculous. Yeah. Here's a blanket filled with chicken pox. No. We're gonna name a team after the color of your skin. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Right.
Sorry about the genocide. Kick off.
So, Kirky Cameron. Kirk Cameron of the 1980s sitcom fame.
Yeah, what is up with these 80s sitcom stars? I mean, Bill Cosby, the rapist, Kirk Cameron, what is he? Just a lunatic?
He rapes people's brains.
Oh, yeah. Say, he's defending Christmas from who?
From nothing.
From nothing.
From nothing. From
He's just stupid. I mean, you just can't hate him.
Well, and with ridiculous, weird. I mean, you know, those Christians use that mental jujitsu all the time to try to flip things to make it sound like they're not saying the horrific shit they are.
Yes.
But him with this, somehow, it's okay. Christmas, it's okay that everything is based on pagan rituals. It's okay that the fucking date is based on a pagan, the solstice. You know, it's okay.
What date? No. Jesus' birth is based on was born.
It's
dude.
So not. Even
the Bible.
Even the craziest of the religions.
They don't think that.
Don't think that. They think, I think the historians, I think people that claim to be historians that have found evidence of the actual Jesus that lived, which, I don't know, there seems to be a lot of evidence, or lack thereof, I should say. But he,
so,
aside from
so
the Bible,
long ago.
You can't
it's
put
so long ago. How would you know? Right. How would you know? If it was
well,
alive?
the Romans were, clerical jerk offs and bureaucrats. And, they had every single human counted and listed because they wanted their shekels. They wanted their taxes and shit from everybody. So I think there are scant, which means none, actual records of, hey, there's this dude named Jesus in Galilee or from Galilee or Nazareth, wherever the fuck.
Do they have his social security number or something?
Right. They found his, yeah.
Yeah.
His social security
green card. Jesus was an illegal alien. I didn't know that.
But Kirk Cameron's out with this movie, Saving Christmas, trying to say that, you know, all these arguments about Christmas being based on a pagan ritual, the Christmas tree is a druid or pagan ritual. All these things that Christianity, in its early infancy as a movement and as a sect, they intentionally switched these things to try to get people to change. When the Holy Roman Empire was going out, they were like, "Oh, To all you pagans out there, we love that tree. Christians will use the tree too. Become a Christian.
Take them what you like. It's like when you go to the old country buffet. You never spoon up a dollop of, you know, the Jell-O with a little bits of fruit in it. It's disgusting.
Gross.
Give me the pot roast. I don't want anything with a skin on it.
And you got to go right for the chocolate fountain. Or is that...
That's Golden Corral.
Golden Corral, I apologize.
Chocolate fountain. They have all these signs around here. It says, chocolate fountain, 10% off if you're a veteran. I'm like, wow, thanks for your service.
To all the gastric geniuses out there looking for... who have delicate palates looking for great places to eat.
Yeah. Here's some Ebola.
Well, now Kirk Cameron, not only did he get a shit-tastic review of his ridiculous movie on Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm reading from rawstory.com.
Indeed.
And thanks to Jason for sending this over.
Oh, that's Jason who did that.
Yeah, huh? The other brother. Kirk Cameron has now on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb.com. Go look up Ryan Pfeiffer and look up me. We're both on IMDb.
Don't look up me because I have a problem with IMDb right now. Some other dude named Ryan Pfeiffer, they merged our profiles. So some of my credits are merged with this guy's credits, and he's like a grip or something.
And he doesn't give a shit.
And he was a big fat guy. God damn it.
Wait, is it his picture?
It's his fucking picture.
That's awesome.
God, I just screamed that. I probably sound like a nut. My mom, like right now, is like looking at everybody. Like, he's okay.
He's playing a character.
he's just doing his internet radio show. He screamed because his tinfoil hat just fell off.
Now I'm looking you up on IMDb. But anyway, wait, were you in Crimson Winter?
I don't even know what that was or is.
That's a Ryan Pfeiffer. Transformers, that's you. Transformers Beginnings.
Yeah. The look at the guy's face.
The cartoon after the...
Maybe they fixed it.
What Separates Us?
I don't know what that is.
It's in post-production. It's something you did recently.
Oh, yes. What a great... I don't know what that is.
Well, you have a... I don't know. You played Larry.
In what? In that What Separates Us?
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck that
Brian is. Brian Ferriter is the director.
Brian.
Brandon Day, producer. Mike Day, yes. Executive producer.
Oh, Brandon, Mike, and all the boys down there at What Separates Us. I just want to give a big shout out.
Oh, that means you have no idea who we're talking about.
I enjoy working on the project with you. Lovely experience. Thank you so much.
There's actually no photo.
Yeah. There used to be a picture of his big fat face.
Oh, you wrote something called Crimson Winter.
Oh, yeah. I remember. That was a hard one to write. I wrote it by hand.
Oh, man. You made a lot of money. This was a real movie.
Oh, shit. How disappointing. I mean, for people to realize, oh, it's not him. Oh, okay. So what credits are left? Oh, all the shitty ones.
You got to email them and figure out what's going on with
this. I did.
Anyway.
I have contacted them, and they don't give a shit about me. I know that's shocking.
You didn't pay for IMDb Pro.
No, I didn't. I'm a loser.
So Kirk Cameron on IMDb, his movie, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, now has the distinction of being... officially the worst rated, the most poorly rated film on the Internet Movie Database, meriting only 1.3 stars out of 10. In order, are you there?
1.3 stars. No, I was listening.
In order to appear on the list, I thought I heard a click. Appear on the list, a film must have received at least 1,500 votes. So that means...
Okay.
At least 1,500 people voted, and it has 1.3 stars.
How much do you think Mr. Cameron spent on this film? I mean, is he the exact producer? Did he bankroll
this? Oh, yeah,
this?
He's all over everything. I don't know where the money came from, but he's all...
I mean, we listened to clips of it. I mean, we probably spent $25 on the whole film.
And before he is able to screech and cry Christian persecution, I don't think it's in this version of the story. I saw a different version of the story. But I do remember that he really can't, because that most recent horrific steaming pile of shit with Kevin Sorbo, God is not dead.
What a great combo, by the way. What a great partnership. What a great meeting of the minds. Are you telling me Kevin Sorbet, what a great porn name. Are you telling me Kevin Sorbo and Kirk Cameron are joining up?
No. The Kevin Sorbo's shitty, ridiculous Christian movie on IMDb, which was out not that long ago.
Yes.
Which was ravaged and savaged by all the critics, except for the lunatic Christians who went to see it. We're like, that's great.
We love it.
The atheist is the evil man in that one.
They just want to like it because someone made it for them, and then they right. feel bad if they hate it. Or there's some weird bullshit going on there.
And that movie even got, like, I don't know, two stars or three stars out of 10. So it's not just an assault on Christian movies. Like, you know what I mean? Kirk Cameron can't say, it's because it's Christians, me, persecution.
No, he can relax. It's because it sucks.
It's because it's horrific. The Times, one of the reviews said that Kirk Cameron's delivery in the film is so forced, quote, you half expect the camera to pull back to reveal hostage takers.
Is this the New York Times?
I believe so.
Oh, my God.
New York Times.
What is wrong with Kirk Cameron? I mean, we talked about this before, but he was literally the biggest star on the planet.
Oh, huge.
And now he's a joke. I mean, listen, if he would have just shut up and appeared somewhat normal, he could be a huge movie star, because he's not any better. He's not any worse an actor than a lot of these people in films.
Right.
You know, he's just an incredibly stupid project.
In every scene in that trailer of that movie, he seems to be acting. When he's not talking, he's like leaning in and staring at the person like threateningly listening to them. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how he acts. And that's how he reacts. Is he stares at the person. He kind of tilts his head and leans way in, like, oh, I'm listening to every single word you're saying.
I'm engaged.
That's his acting style, yeah.
Yeah, you think he has some loony acting coach that was on set? No, like, Kirk, no. I need you more engaged in this scene.
He's the acting coach there. Are you kidding me? Everybody's like, Kirk, what'd you think of my performance, Kirk?
I don't know. It was okay. Let me go pray about it, and then I'll give you a line reading.
I played Mary Magdalene in the last nativity scene, though. Oh, wait, she wasn't in the nativity scene. They don't wheel the whore in until the New Testament.
Oh, right. Oh, they don't even wheel the whore in because it's a Kirk Cameron set.
That's right.
There's no whores. Please.
Another review said, Kirk Cameron's preferred tool of engagement is a pry bar applied to your eyelids with an indelicate hand.
How dare that person talk about Kirk Cameron's tool? That's hilarious. This guy that wrote this article is...
No, these are aggregates of other...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
these
shit.
Are other reviews.
Well, everyone's funny then.
Yeah, these guys...
Well, I mean, what a gift. What a gift to be able to review this. You're like, oh, let me get out the one-liners.
Yeah, I think that's how you become a good reviewer, is you got to be willing to shred in a funny and entertaining way. Nobody wants to read anybody gushing over a movie.
No, well, that's so boring. No one wants to hear anybody talk about anything they like. They want to hear people talk about what they hate. That's a lesson to learn, kids.
I want to hear them savaged.
Yeah. I want to hear people bitch.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with Kirk Cameron. We wish him luck. The people have spoken.
God, he's nuts, man.
The headline is on the Raw
bad
story.
Shit crazy.
Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas is IMDb's worst film of all time.
Is there anybody that's comparable to Kirk Cameron who was such a big star that is just, I mean, I don't know.
Well, Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson is I mean, he's more known for his anti-Jew stuff and for his calling his wife horrible names on
messages,
but that Jew hating stuff and all that Christianity shit is all based on that really weird, extreme, Opus Dei kind of Catholicism that he's into.
Right.
Not you guys. I escaped.
I know.
Many years ago.
Relax. You know. Hey, listen.
Undiddled, by the way. Hashtag. I never undiddled. Never diddled.
No, nobody looked at you twice. I'm sorry.
That's right.
How insulting is that?
I was a frail, pale, sickly little child. Nobody wanted to fuck me.
You know. Oh God, I lost my train of thought. Oh wait. But really, the comparison between Mel Gibson and Kirk Cameron is rough too, because, you know, I think Mel Gibson is he's Looney Tunes, but obviously an amazing director. And I've seen him act before where I liked him in his movies. I loved him in Lethal Weapon.
He's great.
And I liked Braveheart. I loved him
Braveheart's
in Braveheart.
A fucking great movie. He directed it well. He deserved his Oscar.
That's why his, like, meltdown is really disturbing, because, I don't know. It just sucks. It's sad because he used to do such great films. And I'm not going to go. I'm sorry. I ain't spending money to go see any. I'm not giving Mel Gibson any of my money. That anti-Semite could go, you know, fuck off, honestly. But Kirk Cameron was never, like, amazingly talented like that. You know, like, Kirk Cameron never did anything in his career to warrant Oscar consideration or an Emmy.
Right.
You know?
But he could be there now if he hadn't gone batshit Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean,
he could be Scott Baio, for God's sakes.
I was going to say, like Tom Cruise, but Tom Cruise is a good actor, I think.
I think Tom Cruise is an exceptionally good actor, and I think a lot of that has to do with his training as a Scientologist. He's a Thetan 47. I mean, my
you
God.
You think they have good acting coaches over there?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, I do. I really do. I think probably if you had to break down any religion, the most talent, it's acting wise anyway, it's got to be concentrated on the Scientologists.
And Travolta is great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know.
Will Smith.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Listen. Sometimes Will Smith's movies, they get on my nerves. I mean, that movie about, what is it, I Am Legend? Or what was the movie where he's left in New York by himself and has to fight off the crazy, scary zombies or something? That movie bummed me out only because they killed the dog halfway through.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, who cares? It's not that good.
It's not that good. Who gives a shit?
No, I liked it. What was that movie? It was an adaptation of a play that Will Smith was in.
6 Degrees?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
That's a great play, too.
Sure. Zoe's going crazy again. Someone must be entering the Pfeiffer compound.
The attack dog, the schnauzer.
Yeah.
I just checked my IMDb. Everything seems cool, but
you weren't hacked?
Well, my picture is ancient. That's an old picture. I need to update that motherfucker.
Yeah, fuck that. We want to produce stuff. We don't deal with IMDb.
Or voice. I love doing voice shit. Don't have to put on makeup. Don't have to give a shit. Don't have to have people do anything to your hair. I love doing voice work.
Yeah, I do too.
Don't have to memorize.
No.
You got the shit right in front of you?
Well, I mean, I go over my lines every day before this show. I just kind of run them. Yeah, I ran my lines today with Bowie, my brother's kid, right before the show.
Bowie, how's he doing?
You could probably hear him.
Yeah. Also, Criming While White, still trending.
Oh, I love that.
So people, hopefully this isn't going to die down any too soon. It needs to not.
There's protests in Chicago. I saw footage of that today on MSNBC.
Yeah, there's protests here. I hope before he leaves that Eric Holder at least launches on these two. Because that's the best. Because then they can't blame this new incoming attorney general that still needs to go through those horrible hearing process.
Oh, wow. That must be fun. I mean, yeah.
Do you believe the earth is 6,000 years old?
No.
If something happens,
I'm about no.
And Obama needs to appoint a Supreme Court justice before his term's up, do you think they'll get confirmed?
No, we'll have 8 justices.
Oh, okay.
I really have no doubt. I really have no doubt that they would drag it out and not approve anybody because there's because he's, you know, the black guy.
But Democrats don't do that. I mean, they would go through the whole fucking process.
I mean, I would hope. I would hope. I mean, the Democrats, you know, were pretty liberal with that filibuster bullshit at the near the end of Bush's tenure. And
but I agree with what they were, the goals.
I didn't agree with the methods. I thought that was pretty shitty. Just now the Republicans stole that and made it into an art form.
I would not, could not, with a goat.
Yeah, where they were filibustering everything. They filibustered everything that the president wanted. They filibustered from the minority in the Senate. And I don't think that's the way that shit was intended to work.
Right.
So when Harry Reid did that nuclear option thing, it was like, well, be careful what you wish for. And then now it's going to happen. We're going to have 2 years of the Republicans who now have that nuclear option.
Ugh, how terrifying.
Can prevent the Democrats from filibustering a bunch of shit. So the next 2 years are just going to be horrific. It's just, they're just going to try to drag us back into the dark ages with personhood amendments and get rid of gay. Let's try to get rid of gay marriage, which they're not going to win, I don't think.
Are you saying the Republican Party is going to push us to the edge of an apocalypse and I should get my doomsday prepping on?
No. Well, yeah, because they're already trying to figure out ways to defund the EPA, get rid of that evil Environmental Protection Agency.
We got to rain. Who said that? Was that Mitch McConnell?
They're all of them hate it.
In the EPA.
All of them hate it.
Why do we want to rein that in?
Because it puts regulations on the men whose cocks their lips are firmly around. Big oil,
well said.
Big chemical, big gas. And all of those guys, you put big coal. You say, hey, we'd rather, I live downwind in Virginia. I'd rather not suffocate and have children with six eyes and four testicles that because of your coal dust in West Cunting, Virginia, that you don't give a shit about blowing over into my stuff.
Coal does that? I had no idea.
So, and the burning of it and the
oh yeah, it's horrible for you.
So,
but don't we all breathe the same air?
But these regulations they try to put on it. Oh, how dare you? Oh, you're going to hurt business. You're going to kill jobs. You're hurting our industry. You're hurting my profits.
Like Eric Garner, we're just trying to fucking breathe, okay?
And then they say, well, the Chinese aren't going to do it. Why should we do it? That's the most really...
Have you been to China?
Ridiculous, egregious, moronic argument that if any of those turds, I would have a hard time not being arrested for assault because I'd spit in one of their faces if they tried to use that argument on me of that, well, the Chinese aren't going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. What happened to us being the leader, the shining example? They're like, but we're not, we're going to lose money. We're going to lose money while the Chinese make money polluting the fuck away. So we should pollute too.
Have you seen the air over there?
Yeah. And they're starting, by the way, to now wake up over even in China. And they're even passing like, you know, they smoke like fiends over there.
Oh, yeah.
They're starting to pass no smoking indoors laws in China and shit. So they're starting to wake up over there.
Oh my God, you can smoke inside some bars here in Pensacola, and
God, that's so alien to me.
It is the strangest thing. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, you walk out of that place and you don't really notice, and then you just like, what is that smell? Why do I smell like a burnt hot dog? That's what China's like all the time. The whole country smells like hot dogs.
Right.
I've never been there.
Well, you can see.
No idea. Oh yeah. Oh, look, our country, is the official odor is a pig in a blanket.
So hopefully people come around, but it's just these science deniers and this climate change moronitude here in this country where we just bury our hands and heads in the tar sands.
You're being negative because it's going to get better. Who's the Republican that's going to be in charge of the science committee in the Senate?
Inhofe.
Yeah, well, okay. Oh, great. He might do some good stuff.
Inhofe, James Inhofe, Republican moron from Oklahoma,
I'm a big fan of Inhofe. I had no idea the world was flat.
That's about it. He, there was a good article, in fact, that I flagged and I read about half of it. I want to read the other half. It's I think it's from Mother Jones, and it's all about him. I'm trying to find it now. I think I have it here.
Inhofe.
Yeah, and
look him up on IMDb.
But Inhofe, I guess, there was some climate meeting of all of these people who believe that we need to do shit, and Inhofe went there and was causing a ruckus. Got on TV, got on cameras, because he was there saying, this is all lies, this is all fake. God controls the climate. Who are we to think that we could affect the climate?
Has he not seen any of the movies that Morgan Freeman's been president in? I mean, I don't know about God, but I know that when that asteroid in Deep Impact hit the Earth.
Here it is. Yeah, it's from Mother Jones. And this reporter went up to him at this climate change conference or whatever. This is David Corn, who is on TV all the time. He's on MSNBC. He's really funny.
Mr. Corn?
Who writes for Mother Jones.
Is his name, is he a doctor? Is he Dr. Corn?
No.
That's amazing.
Mr. Corn.
Hello, Mr. Corn. Do you know if he's a father? Because then he would be popcorn.
Nice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead with the story. I don't.
So he walked up to Inhofe and said, so you really think that everybody here traveled from all points on the globe? This was in Lima, Peru. There was this worldwide gathering and of diplomats to talk about the challenges of climate negotiations and climate change. Now, Inhofe goes down there to be a turd floating in the pool.
And, oh, yeah.
And to, of course, try to draw the spotlight to him. So he said, Corn said, so you think everybody traveled from all points on the globe to be here are victims of a well-orchestrated hoax? All these hundreds of scientists, heads of state, government officials, policy experts, all of these people have been fooled.
How do they look at Inhofe? Do they look at him like they're like, oh my God, there's that guy that doesn't believe in evolution over there at the salad bar? Whew,
I think they know what's going on. I think the dummies of Oklahoma, the Bible wavers, buy that. Oh, how could we be so arrogant to think we can affect the climate when the Lord's pulling the strings? They buy that bullshit. I don't think he believes that. He is suckling at the Koch brothers' old saggy, hairy, white nipples.
Ooh.
And people like that. It might not be the Kochs, but he is definitely a big oil, big frack the fuck out of the state. Money, money, money.
I mean,
are the ones.
You're right. I'm sure all those people see through that.
I think they believe. They know he's full of shit. He's a snake oil salesman. So he says, yes, everyone here is being hoaxed.
By who?
Well, here you go.
Art Bell?
David Corn asks him. He goes, well, who engineered this scam? And Inhofe replied, Hollywood liberals and extreme environmentalists.
Awesome. Hollywood liberals? Has he been to Hollywood? What scheme are those knuckleheads going to cook up?
Well, how do I get to my next Botox appointment?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't come to the phone right now. I'm doing a massive rail of coke, and I don't have time to orchestrate a conspiracy about the fucking environment, okay?
So Corin asked him, why would they conspire to scare all these smart people into believing a catastrophe was underway when all is really well? And he said that Inhofe didn't skip a beat. He said, to advance their radical environmental agenda.
Holy shit. Now, did he read that from a card that he pulled out of his jacket? Well, he probably just knew
that. He's got this shit memorized. So Korn said, who in Hollywood is doing this? The whole liberal crowd, Inhofe said.
Specifically who? Kevin Costner.
You sound like David Korn. David Korn said, but who specifically? To which Inhofe said, Barbara Streisand.
Did he really?
Barbara Streisand.
I was going to make a joke and say Emilio Estevez, but who knows?
So the headline and the title of this article by Inhofe is, or by David Korn and Mother Jones, is Inhofe's Grand Climate Conspiracy Theory. It's all about Barbara Streisand.
I mean, how embarrassing. I mean, at some point, can't we as a country just say, listen, this guy can't be in charge of the science committee? I mean, I'm fairly disturbed that he's
we
in
did.
On the whole.
We did. The country did say, and they put him back. They put the Republicans back. So the knuckle-dragging morons of this country, and I'm talking about the people that didn't get out to vote. I'm not talking about people that vote for people like Inhofe, because the last election proved that all of the old whiteies went out, all the old white Bible swingers made it to the polls, and all the libs were at home smoking pot and not giving a shit and jerking off and playing video games. And
is he saying that the lead from Funny Girl is orchestrating this bullshit conspiracy?
So Korn says, I nearly laughed. Then he says, so all these people assembled in Copenhagen in Lima, Peru, are because Barbara Streisand, a singer and actor, had perpetrated the greatest con over the past 100 years. With a straight face, Inhofe said, that's right.
What's the big song from Funny Girl, by the way? What is that?
I don't know. That's
that was a good musical. It's a good movie too. Funny Girl is actually a good movie.
In 2012, this idiot Inhofe wrote a book that says the greatest hoax: how the global warming conspiracy threatens your future.
Ooh, I want to know about that. How does Barbara Streisand threaten my future?
He mentions her in the book, lumping her in with Leonardo DiCaprio and John Travolta as celebrities whose environmental alarmism had to be debunked. Inhofe was taking it upon himself to go out and say, all those Hollywood libs are lying to you.
God, I mean, doesn't Leonardo DiCaprio, doesn't he just donate shitloads of money to environmental causes?
Everything,
I mean,
yeah.
So what? Isn't that a good thing?
Well, and I still don't understand. No, because it's the evil government. It's the evil government tyranny holding down big business. Don't forget, Ryan, the free market will keep the Koch brothers from choking the air of everyone downwind and destroying their water, which I got a story about when we come back from the break. We got to take a little break pretty soon.
Not the water. God damn it.
But and it's Alaska's story, too. So after this story was published, there's an update here on Mother Jones.
Okay.
Barbara Streisand issued a statement.
Oh, shit.
And she said, this would be hilarious if it weren't so frightening. I thank Senator Inhofe for singling me out as a voice against the perils of climate change. But I'm just a small part of millions of voices who are informed and alarmed, including 97% of all climate scientists. God help us. This man is going to head the Committee on the Environment in the United States Senate. It's like giving a fox the keys to the chicken coop. End quote. So Streisand from Mount Streisand, wherever she lives, on
where does
high.
She live? Where do you think she lives? Where do you think that lib lives, that evil fucking...
Probably up on the hills in Malibu, house, and she probably has a house in New York. She's a New Yorker, right? Maybe she's a New Yorker.
Wow. What an environmental alarmist. Right. How horrible.
Right.
She shared, actually, the Academy Award for Best Actress for Funny Girl with Katharine Hepburn for The Lion and Winner. I never knew that to happen before.
Is that the only tie?
What?
Is that the only tie?
I think so. I don't know. 1968.
I mean, I knew that they had they split the Oscar, but
I didn't know that. Interesting. That's fascinating to me. I doubt anyone else gives a shit.
They didn't demand a recount and
yes,
go for hanging chads.
Right.
Yeah. We got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. We're at the middle of the show at the end of the week here on Crab Diving. Don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. You can tweet us during the show if you like, at Crab Diving. We also got our, what have we got? Facebook going on and Instagram. And we're all over the fucking Pinterest. We're on a goddamn Pinterest, everybody.
Right.
I'm just kind of pulling a couple of songs here for us to play over the break.
I can't wait.
What
are you going to do with your time on the break, by the way? I'm going to go refill my coffee.
I've got, let's see, we got Poison Apples by Abnormal Cattle. I like that one.
I love that song.
That's our morning guy, Rick Wood. Listen to Rick, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. every weekday morning.
That guy's a rocker.
Here on the network. And then, again, rerun at night at 9 p.m. on weeknights. Sometimes on the weekend. The weekends are kind of like Deadwood right now. It's whatever we feel like scheduling at a certain time.
Oh, yeah.
But everything will be cohesive and fall into a regular schedules as more of these shows that we got brewing, churning up.
This is a process that is in flux.
Right.
That is growing.
We don't want to hurry it. We don't want to hurry it. We're edging.
Yes.
These
By
shows.
The way, follow us on Twitter, the network, CrabNet. What is it?
At Crab Diving Net.
At Crab Diving Net, please.
It's like your Crab Diving Net.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
So we're going to play some Musica right now. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Take a hit, take a shit, whatever you need to do. More Crab Diving after the break.
Coming at night, when I'm coming at night.
we're back, ladies and gentlemen, here on Crab Diving Friday. That song playing in the background, a little trancy, a little mushroomy. Be Sweet Garden.
Oh, I love that.
Captress, that's an awesome song.
I just dropped acid too, so that's perfect. Oh, yeah.
A lot of that going on in the Pfeiffer compound. You guys passing around some blotter?
Oh, yes. It's like it's all Koresh up in this bitch. Hey, that's not funny. What happened to David Koresh? Did that end good or bad? I can't remember.
I think it went poorly.
Were they the Nike people?
Nike?
They were all. What compound was it? What suicide cult was it?
Oh, no. Those were.
They all castrated themselves.
They were different.
They put on Nike shoes.
Yeah, that was a different group that thought the aliens were going to come for them.
Oh, man. That's dedication.
That's some crazy.
I've never believed in anything that hard. I believe in this so much. Let me cut my balls off. And
James Imhoff is ready for the country to go to shit because he believes because his Bible says so, which I don't believe. I mean, I don't believe he believes it.
He's an asshole.
He's a giant, ginormous asshole.
Not the biggest asshole of the day, but he's up there, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's many people vying, struggling to climb to the top of that shit pile. Could be the biggest asshole of the day.
But his assholery could affect us more than, say, Cosby's assholery. I mean, Cosby never raped me. But yet, James Inhofe, you know, his policies, you know.
Right.
I'm choking on coal dust over here.
People are you know, they're being dazzled by what's going on with Cosby that they ignore Inhofe reaching up into them and pulling out their insides and selling it for money.
Do you think on some level Cosby's glad this whole Ferguson thing's happening and the Eric Garner, because he's like, at least some of the news cycle isn't about me?
I mean, probably, yeah.
I mean, God damn it. I watched MSNBC today for 2 hours, and all I saw was shit about Bill Cosby.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
More Cosby shit.
Yeah, I think it's because he's throwing out that a countersuit or something, or some bullshit.
Is he suing Janice Dickinson?
No. Oh, no. I would be afraid to sue her. I mean, Jesus. She gave, dude, on national television, what's his name? It's not Rowan Atkinson. Rowan Atkinson is another...
Rowan Atkinson is Mr. Bean.
Rowan Farrow.
Rowan Farrow.
The 12-year-old that does the news.
Mia Farrow and Woody Allen's son.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did he ever hook up with the son or just the daughter?
Ronan Farrow refuses to acknowledge his father's existence. Ronan Farrow is on the side of the daughter that says that dad diddled her.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
So,
I mean, he seems
that's why
like...
I changed his name. I think his name used to be, I want to say Satchel, or is that a different one?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I think he changed it to Ronan.
What a horrible father Woody Allen is. First off, he hooks up with a stepdaughter. Then he names somebody Satchel. Jesus Christ. Satchel. Oh,
well,
Satchel
Paige is a great baseball player. One of the greatest.
I know. But from what year?
Well, you know.
I mean, if you were to have a daughter, would you name her Eunice?
It's funny now, on Ronan Farrow's Wikipedia, they changed it to say Farrow was born in New York City to actress Mia Farrow and either filmmaker Woody Allen or Frank Sinatra.
That's awesome. God. Whose seed would you rather have?
Oh, Frank. Well, yeah, I guess.
Well, I'd rather have Frank's seed.
I mean, for looks. But then if you look at him, I mean, the kid's got blue eyes. He's got lips like Frank. It kind of makes sense.
But don't you think Woody Allen's like a genius? Like with this directing and the dialogue that he writes? I mean, that... I it's one of these things that I hate saying when you have these people that are, you know, quasi monsters, and you're like, oh my God. Boy, Roman Polanski can sure direct.
He's a good director.
Yeah.
He was born Satchel Ronan O'Sullivan Farrow.
Holy fucking shit.
Named after baseball player Satchel Paige and actress Maureen O'Sullivan, his maternal grandmother.
Wow. Satchel. I mean, the kid's not that old. How do you name somebody? When was he born? I mean,
1987.
To name someone born in 1987 Satchel, I mean, you might as well. Why don't you just beat him? Honestly, beat him. Let Bill Cosby babysit him or something. Good Christ.
So he goes by Ronan. So Ronan is actually his name in there. He doesn't go by Satchel. He goes by Ronan.
Right.
He attended the Bard College at Simon's Rock.
Oh, Simon's Rock. Oh, I love that bar.
And graduated college at age of 15.
Oh, good for you. He's smart. Well, I tell you, watching him, it really is worth your time. Find him interviewing Janice Dickinson.
Oh, maybe, we'll pull some clips of it for next week, maybe.
I mean, the kid truly has his hands full with her. She's nice. She is nice to him. But she's interviewing someone who has to be bleeped a lot. And at times, her hand gestures have to be pixelated.
Awesome.
Pretty funny.
Pharaoh put off going to college for a couple of years. You know, he was only 15.
Wait. He finished college.
I mean, he put off going to law school. I'm sorry. He went to Yale Law School, but he took a couple of years off because he was only 15, you know.
You know, I applaud this guy because I tell you, I don't know what kind of trust fund or what kind of money this guy came into, but I ain't going to law school. I'm going to the
he's brilliant. He's been an advocate. He worked for UNICEF from 2001 to 2009. So when he was like 15 to till 19, he was a UNICEF spokesperson for youth.
Wow.
An advocate advocated for children and women caught up in the ongoing crisis in Darfur. He also assisted in fundraising by addressing United Nations affiliated groups in the United States. So he's at 15 to 19. He's going around as a UNICEF ambassador.
Wow. God. Amazing. Jesus. I don't know.
Let me stop reading here.
I know. It's really depressing. I went out to stretch my legs a little bit during the break, and I was just so disappointed. I was like, there's no coffee. Someone drank all the coffee. I'm not making it. That's too much trouble. This guy's in Darfur.
In 2011, he commented about Woody Allen. He's my father married to my sister. That makes me his son and his brother-in-law. That is such a moral transgression.
Wow. Woody Allen's got to be like, God, could you shut the fuck up? Right. Do you think he just contacts people, Woody Allen? He's just like, hey, quit talking about it. What kind of check can I write to you to have you, you know, not say anything about, you know, the fact that I married my daughter? Just quit making jokes.
Asked about longstanding speculation that Ronan Farrow is the son of Mia Farrow's ex-husband Frank Sinatra. Last year, Mia Farrow stated in a Vanity Fair article that Sinatra possibly could be Ronan's father.
I mean, he doesn't look like Woody Allen's his father.
But listen, Ronan's got a sense of humor about it. Ronan tweeted, listen, we're all possibly Frank Sinatra's son.
Oh, I'm jealous of that. Now, see, now I like him. I felt bad because a few weeks ago in Crab Diving, if you want to hear me, you know, bitterly bitch about this guy that, you know, like 8 years old, has an amazing career, you can go do that. But now I like him, and I'd like to apologize for any disparaging comments I made about the little tyke.
And Marky Kessler. It's a week of backtracking for us here on Crab Diving.
Marky Kessler needs an Oscar.
Yeah.
If it's true.
Yeah, I still haven't seen any corroboration of that, but I would have thought it would have been a bigger story, like you said.
I thought it would be a bigger story than Bill Cosby. I mean, that's amazing. And then again, like, you know, most people don't have internet radio shows where we talk about the news for 2 hours. So maybe we have the world under a bit of a microscope.
Right.
I don't know.
I've got, let's see, should we check the headlines here? On Friday, here's Sarah Palin.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
For these lamestream media characters to get all wee-weed up.
Well, here we are getting all wee-weed up for the news, ladies and gentlemen, here at Crab Diving.
America's just stupid.
The headline over at the commie pinko liberal
Ifeet
Huffington Post has a picture of our Secretary of State, John Kerry, the richest senator, I believe, the wealthiest.
Ooh, now he's got that ketchup money.
He's got that Heinz money.
His wife has
that Heinz money.
Right. If you marry into that, why is he working? I mean, what? Get a hobby, dummy.
Again, it's that type A. I've got to have the biggest cock on the planet kind of personality.
But he's done. I mean, good for him. He's done some good stuff. I mean, he served the country. He probably didn't have to. And yeah, I don't know.
That's true. He was even loaded back then. But I mean, I think he was from a little bit of privilege, regardless of the.
Listen, you look at John Kerry. You listen to him talk. He has not been poor one fucking day in his fucking life. That's a well-coiffed dude. You know what I mean? Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Who knows?
He was born in Aurora, Colorado, attended boarding school in Massachusetts. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So, right.
There you go.
Did you attend boarding school?
John Forbes Kerry. Forbes. Forbes. His mother is Rosemary Isabel Forbes, a World War II nurse. His dad was a diplomat.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So his dad had shitloads of money. And
he went to Yale and all that. So, yeah. Whatever.
Hardly ITT tech.
So there's a photo of John Kerry on the Huffington Post, and it says, torture, truth, panic. I wonder if this is about, you know, there's that investigation that's supposed to be released, the results of some ongoing investigation into how our fucking evil moronic leaders, Darth Cheney, George Bush,
right,
Rumsfeld.
I can't come to the phone right now. I'm busy shooting my friend's face off and pouring copious amounts of oil into the fucking Gulf of Mexico. Beep.
And all those fucks tortured. So it's the CIA torture report that is supposed to come out. Now it says that lawmakers threatened on Wednesday to circumvent the Obama administration. See, the Obama doesn't want this shit to come out either, because it's going to say that we've probably continued with these torture things, because the stuff we do now, we may not be waterboarding, but we're still like keeping people awake. I think they do.
Oh, that's horrible.
And shit like that. Yeah, it's barbaric.
I've heard some.
But they want to kill America.
They play Justin Bieber music.
They do. I guess. So there's a John Kerry made a last minute attempt to delay the document's public release. This report must see the light of day before Congress adjourns this year, says Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, a Democrat, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And if the executive branch isn't willing to cooperate, the Senate should be willing to act unilaterally to ensure this happens. I think I agree with them.
Yeah, but the Senate's not going to give a shit about that. The Senate's going to want to shut down the fucking government. They won't even.
What do you mean shut down the government?
No, I mean, you know, do you think the Senate's going to act unilaterally?
Oh, God, no.
I mean, no.
But maybe for this. I mean, this is the kind of thing, because this is something Obama wants. He wants to keep it secret. He wants it not to go out yet. That section, the executive branch, and John Kerry, I think, is, you know, kind of spearheading the decision on this. But he says he allegedly made a phone call to Dianne Feinstein, our senator from here in California.
Yay.
Who's the chair of the Intelligence Committee. And
anti-gun.
And asked her to, she's very anti-gun, asked her to consider the timing of the release. He says that its revelation could endanger overseas personnel and international partnerships. In other words, it's going to make us look like torturing asshole motherfuckers that we are.
God.
And he thinks, well, maybe we shouldn't, Maybe ISIS will get a little worked up if we if this comes out how we're torturing their people.
Oh my God.
Maybe things in Africa will get a little riled up when we find how we're torturing people.
Is America the boogeyman to the rest of the world?
Oh yeah. Oh, too much of the rest of the world. Absolutely. And you talk to people on the right, and you're like, well, you know, what makes this country great right now? What's great? Well, we got the biggest military. Oh, woohoo.
Yay. Oh,
Hitler had the biggest military in Europe.
Oh, my God, dude. Speaking of Hitler, totally off subject. But, you know, everything gets
back to Hitler. We'll come back to Kerry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What is that law about everything goes back to Hitler?
Godwin's law?
Yeah.
On the internet or something like that?
I was on my favorite website today, which is The Mirror. Trashy British thing. Anyway, my God. There's a house and a mansion out in Brazil that obviously was bought and inhabited by people that were fleeing Nazi Germany because they were, war criminals and shit. And there's an aerial photo of this mansion, and you can see the swimming pool. And on the bottom of the swimming pool is that little Nazi symbol, a swastika.
You sure it's not the Native American symbol from a couple thousand years ago that they're using?
I don't know, maybe. But you know that they had the funniest quote in the article. They said, the person said, well, who owns the house? I don't actually feel this way. This just was in the swimming pool.
Nice.
I mean, it must be hard. I was thinking, I'm like, well, cover it up. Then I'm like, well, how do you do that? How do you paint underwater?
Well, you drain the pool.
I guess. And then I would drain the pool and then paint over it. Because otherwise, people come over to your house and swim. They're like, hey, what's up with the Nazi deal in the bottom of your fucking pool?
Well, right.
You got to right. You got to explain it.
Although, I might put up a sign that says, this place used to be owned by some Nazi asshole.
And
have the novelty value of the swastika. That's kind of tacky, but if nobody can see it, it's not like a flag hanging out on the yard or anything. If it's in your backyard and only people can see it.
If you're hang gliding through Brazil, yeah, you can fucking see it. And by the way, that'll go up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/grabdiving.
So back to Kerry. The administration is trying to hide this intelligent panel's report that details the findings of a 5-year investigation into the CIA's use of harsh interrogation techniques during the George W. Bush administration.
Wow. You know, I mean, historically, do you think how people see W's reign, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse as time goes on? I mean, the more shit that comes out.
Didn't he say, well, history is going to prove me right? History, it ain't working.
It's going to prove you something. It ain't going to be right.
So this congressman or senator, I mean, Ron Wyden from Oregon, who's trying to get this shit published, says Americans, he's already read it. I've actually seen him in interviews. And he's like, you won't believe the shit that's in there. My words. He says Americans will be profoundly disturbed and angered when they read it. But it's important.
We're going to be angered.
Embarrassed. By what these evil fucks did in the name of America.
Not every American's going to be bothered by this.
Oh, no.
But some.
Yeah, half of America right. Is going to say, why didn't you shove a rod up his dick?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that maybe the people in this neighborhood might not mind too much. But
he says it's important to get the facts out, even if they make people uncomfortable, because that's the only way to prevent the mistakes of the past from being repeated.
But what about 9/11?
It's the only way to make sure torture never happens again and make America's intelligence agencies stronger in the long run. In fact, I even read a report that they're trying to take the word torture out of it. They don't even want to use the word torture in the report. They say enhanced interrogation or illegal interrogation techniques or whatever. But erase that and insert torture. We were torturers. Yeah. We tortured people.
Ugh. Horrible.
And if you're okay with that, fuck you. You're un-American.
Absolutely. God, I mean, do you think that we did some of the shit like that was done to Kiefer Sutherland throughout the years on 24? Do you remember when they when they shocked his nipples with the car battery.
The CIA seems to have very little accountability. But look at this whole thing. You know, Feinstein's going after them about this whole wiretapping the Senate bullshit that they were doing, listening in on phone calls and shit without anybody knowing it.
That's the worst. Who does that? That's so rude.
It's one of these crazy government entities that's a little out of control. That's where I all agree with the GOP.
No. Stop it.
But, you know, when they talk about lower government, that kind of shit, I agree there. I also think we could, you know, probably save a little money on this ridiculous military that we have.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's just
a lot of money.
It's gauche.
We could feed the hungry and house all the homeless with a little dollop of the budget that goes into those ridiculous planes that don't fly.
Dude, an aircraft carrier. What's it like when an aircraft carrier pulls into port in like Yemen or something? All these poor people are like, holy shit. They built a road and put it on an ocean.
They built a town and put it on an ocean.
How do you do that? By the way, some of my acting skills were actually featured on an aircraft carrier. Bet you didn't know that.
Oh, you did a show on an aircraft carrier?
Yeah, I did. No. I did a movie. I did a training video that was supposed to teach servicemen how not to ruin their credit when they come back after serving overseas. And my cousin actually saw it when he was on his way to Iraq. And basically the message is, when you get back, you know, don't spend all your money on motorcycles and flat screen televisions. I actually thought the whole ad campaign was a little condescending and shitty. Listen, you're going to Iraq. It's going to suck so bad. You want to buy a motorcycle? Although I'm against motorcycles. They're too dangerous. When you get back, go ahead.
Go nuts.
Go nuts. Buy a TV. Oh, my God.
Well, and that the term homeless veteran exists is
disgusting.
Is a stain on this nation. It's just horrific.
Yeah. And what's going on with the...
These fuckers cut food stamp benefits and stuff. They're cutting veterans, too. And they cut veterans benefits. And they try to blame the Democrats.
You can't cut food stamps when you give all this corporate welfare out. It doesn't work like that. I mean, what would Jesus do, guys? What the fuck? Right. Seriously. That's what Jesus is saying right now. He's looking down on all the white people. He's like, what the fucking fuck?
It's great to try to see some of those assholes try to explain. Because, you know, so many people call them out on that shit. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You hate the poor, but didn't that book of yours kind of the later parts of it?
Well, not that part.
Didn't that Jesus guy that you're basing all this stuff on, didn't he kind of emphasize that whole help the poor thing and fuck the rich thing and things like that?
You know, I think.
But it's great to hear them try to spin it. Yeah. And, you know, well, no, Jesus, this one time he said something, give Caesar his due or something.
Yeah. He said one thing. He was drunk when he said it. I read an article. He didn't know. He was out of his mind. Later he retracted it.
Oh, I'm feeling nauseous.
Why? Because your head?
Well, that and the fact that hashtag blonde Bieber is trending.
Why? Is he a blonde
he
now?
He bleached his hair and Instagrammed a picture of himself.
Oh, God. I hate our culture so much.
Oh, he's shirtless. Really. How surprising.
well, you know, if you haven't, do yourself a favor, and we talked about this yesterday. Go look at what Miley Cyrus was wearing the other day. I mean,
amazing.
She is truly a nutball. I mean, she makes Bjork look normal. I mean, really. I mean, honestly, people wouldn't even look at Bjork if Miley Cyrus walked in the room because she has a tinfoil wig.
Yeah, that was full crazy. Blonde Bieber trending higher than I Can't Breathe and Eric Garner.
I'm
just saying. I understand it's been a couple of days, but still.
Yeah.
That makes me just
oh my God.
Start drinking.
Wait. Blonde Bieber is
higher than I Can't Breathe and Eric Garner right now trending.
I watched some of the protests on TV today, and you know, when those people are chanting, if you can't breathe, I can't breathe, I mean, mm-hmm. it is bone chilling. I mean, you get chills watching that.
There's so many memes out there where all it is, you know, 100 words or so, and it's Eric Garner's last words.
Hey, and... you cop apologists out there who think that we don't have a problem, you're on the wrong side of history and you're a shithead.
Yeah. Oh, breaking news here.
Oh, shit.
In Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Somebody has vandalized Bill Cosby's star on the Walk of Fame with a Sharpie. They wrote rapist all over it.
That's funny.
The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce said Cosby's star was defaced with a marker pen, would be cleaned up. They filed a police report because it's registered as a California state landmark.
Ooh. How great. It came out that he raped a child in the 70s. This statute of limitations, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. That somebody Sharpied his star.
The Hollywood Walk of Fame said, when people are unhappy with one of our honorees, we would hope that they would project their anger in more positive ways.
Hashtag eat a dick.
You know, some drunks were out last night on Hollywood Boulevard. They're like, Cosby, fuck him. Do you have a Sharpie? Do you have a Sharpie?
Jealous. I am absolutely jealous of that.
We need to take a picture of somebody pissing on it.
Yeah. Well, no. That gets into some weird, like, internet. That's, you're a sex offender, I believe, if you film that.
Well, don't show the dick. Just show the urine.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't know. Out of frame. Where is Bill Cosby's star in Hollywood, by the way? Where do they keep that? From the DMV?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably in
front of a drugstore.
Ronan Farrell's possible father is in front of the DMV, I believe.
Is he?
Yeah, big star.
I don't think it says here where Cosby's star is, but there you can find online. There's websites that show you where everybody's stupid star is.
You know, my brothers, they visited me in Hollywood a while back. They got their picture with, guess who's star? Bill Collins.
Nice.
They're both drummers and they respect his work.
I got a groovy kind of love. That might have been a dark period.
You know what? I love No Jacket Required. You remember that? Studio. Oh. You don't remember that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's a good one. No Jacket Required. But he named that. The name of that album is based on truth. He went in a restaurant without a jacket on that required a jacket. And he said, I don't have a jacket, but I'm Phil Collins. And they were like, fuck you, you can't come in. Hence the title of his album.
Look at that that club standing up for its principles.
Yeah. What band was he in? Genesis. Oh, he was in Genesis. Yeah. Now, okay. Who was in Genesis? God damn it. I don't want to go down a Wikipedia hole.
Peter Gabriel originally, and then he bailed, and then Phil Collins became the
there was a third guy,
singer, right?
Am I insane? Was the guy from Traffic in Genesis as well? Peter Cetera, not Peter Cetera.
No, that's Chicago.
God.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
who gives a shit, really?
Yeah, if you Google Genesis, you get all that Bible bullshit. You gotta go. You gotta look for a Genesis band.
No, that's funny. Who ranks
Steve Hackett? Peter Gabriel, Steve Hackett, and Anthony Phillips. Founding members, Tony Banks, Mike Rutherford, and Phil Collins.
Oh, wow.
Former members, Peter Gabriel, Steve Hackett, and Anthony Phillips also played major roles over the years, it says.
And Andy Rutherford was in what?
Mike Rutherford.
Oh, wait, who was in Wham? We learned that yesterday.
Andrew Ridgely.
Ridgely. Rutherford.
There you go. Mm-hmm. He was in Mike and the Mechanics. Mike Rutherford.
Yeah.
So I've got a story here. Speaking of the South,
hey.
Our Supreme Court is taking up a case.
Fuck you.
Regarding whether states can allow or reject politically divisive messages on license plates without violating free speech rights. We're going
like out here. They have saved the manatee on all these license plates in Florida.
Well, yeah. At least it doesn't say shoot the darkie or something.
Yeah. That's what they're worried
which
about.
Which is kind of what we're talking about here. In Texas officials, the Supreme Court has agreed to weigh in on whether Texas officials should have approved a specialty plate displaying the Confederate flag.
No, you shouldn't. It's embarrassing. Don't do it.
The Texas Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, Inc.
Oh, my God.
Are complaining that their members' free speech rights were violated when the state, which has a program that allows groups to suggest messages to be used on specialty plates, declined to improve it. So they sued. And it's going to the Supreme Court. The proposed design featured a Confederate battle flag surrounded by the words Sons of Confederate Veterans, 1896.
How stupid. I mean, how embarrassing for our country. I mean, really.
The state said it rejected it because it had received public comments that suggested many members of the general public find the design offensive.
Yeah, okay, we do. We don't want to see it on your fucking license plate, but airbrush it on your car, right? Because you own your car. But you own your license plate, I guess.
The Fifth Circuit group of apparent Confederate minded people themselves decided that it was a violation of free speech, that they shouldn't be allowed. They should have allowed the Confederate flag.
Good God.
So Texas appealed. The state of Texas is fighting this one, actually, surprisingly.
Do you feel like we need to call up Texas and be like, hey, Texas, it's the universe. What are you doing for us? I mean, to make the world better. Just wondering.
It's got the got the best economy right now. They're making money.
Are they really? Is Texas product? I mean, they have oil, I guess.
Also worst in education. Also worst in teen pregnancy rates.
Best.
Also
here, I got
becoming the worst in pollution. So what they did was they deregulated everything, and now it's turning into a Mad Max movie down there. But the billionaires are making money, so.
And by the way, Negative Nancy, here's what they're best in. Frying mentally handicapped people in an electric chair.
They don't fry them, do they? I thought they...
Are they lethal injection?
Yeah, I thought they lethal inject them. I don't think we fry anybody anymore. That was fine. Right. To be a little on the gruesome side.
In Texas, you die from a hot beef injection.
It's expected by the end of June, the case is Walker versus the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Oh, my God.
So they're saying that we should have the right to put that free speech on whatever we want on the license plate.
It's your license plate. You know what? This is where Obama has to just get out the old executive order pad and say, okay, here's what's going on with these license plates. None of you can play nice, so they're all going to be the same color, and they're all going to just have blue lettering, and you can't personalize it. Yeah, I'm sorry, can't.
You don't need to. The reasons the license plate is there is that so the popo can snag you if necessary and for whatever reasons. And to prove that you're a licensed, you paid your fealty to the king and he's allowing you to drive on the roads. It doesn't mean that you have the right to that the state has the right to print plates or has to print for certain groups. That's absolutely bullshittery.
That's crazy.
But the Supreme Court decided to hear it, which means had they declined, that means that most of them would have agreed with the Fifth Circuit, which means that Texas should allow it. So the fact that they even took it up means that there's enough justices who are saying, well, this might be some bullshit. We might have to smack down the Sons of the Confederacy a little bit.
The Sons of the Confederacy.
And this is, I don't understand these people that like in Alabama that are fighting to get to have that flag waved over the state capitol. Don't they understand that to many in this country, it's not only the symbol of racism and stuff, but it's the symbol of the enemy. It was the enemy of the Union.
Well, okay, that's an interesting point, but let me tell you what people in Alabama might say to that. Fuck off.
And I might add the losers, losing enemy.
You lose.
In Germany, you wouldn't find that pool in Germany now, because guess what they've outlawed in Germany?
Nazi shit.
There you go.
By the way, what would the History Channel show at night?
I think they allow that.
No, do they really?
But you can't buy a I Love Adolf Hitler t-shirt.
Yeah. I spent some time in Mobile last night. It's a lovely place, but and the people I met, I don't feel like they'd be. I don't know. I don't feel like they'd be. Let's wave the Confederate flag around. We're so proud of our heritage, but who knows? I don't know.
The headline, by the way, over on Drudge, if you want to dumb it down, they're talking about, I was going to talk about this anyway, the headline is Rolling Stone, quote, sorry for crying rape.
Oopsie.
So, you know, if you've heard about these, where they, was it University of Virginia?
Yeah.
Where they shut down the frats and all that shit. And so Rolling Stone now said today that it's found some discrepancies in the story about an alleged gang rape of a woman that they named Jackie at the University of Virginia. They said that they had lost faith in the piece, so they're retracting it, I guess. Which they're saying is shocking because the author has been defending the reporting. On the website, it says, in the face of new information, there now appear to be discrepancies in Jackie's account. We have come to the conclusion our trust in her was misplaced.
Wow. That is the most diplomatic way I've ever heard anyone say. I can't believe what that person's going to say anymore. Misplaced trust. It's a buzzword.
It says they now regret the decision to not contact the alleged assaulters to get their account. They said that an unidentified UVA student named Jackie said she was gang raped at a party at the Phi Kappa Psi house in 2012. She gave vivid details and the charges that sexual assault, and she charged that sexual assaults at UVA go unreported. So the university was embarrassed. They launched investigations. Police got involved. They suspended all frats and all sororities on the campus in the wake of the story.
Wow.
But then it started to kind of fall apart a little. And they said, the fraternity said, we have no knowledge of these alleged acts being committed at our house or by other members. Our initial doubts as to the accuracy of the article have only been strengthened as alumni and undergraduate members have delved deeper. So, I guess it's kind of fallen apart and Rolling Stone has backed off. But, you know, the right, they hate that rape culture moniker.
Right.
They're just being boys. It's the whores walking around with their titties out, distracting them like Keith Ablo, that pile of diarrhea said. Remember? Oh, the girls should cover up on campus. My son's there trying to learn. Yeah.
Please don't bring up Keith Ablo on a Friday. I mean, I'm in a good mood. You know, it's the 5 o'clock whistle.
It's coming up.
Oh, we've already had the 5 o'clock whistle.
Somewhere it was 5 o'clock. I don't think I have that one. I got to find that one
again.
Dude,
it's 10 till 6 right now in Central Standard Time.
10 to 6. So we missed the 5 o'clock whistle there. Coming up on 5 o'clock Mountain Time.
Yeah.
To those, our friends who are smoking legal marijuana. Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
In Colorado. He also elected Gordon Klingenshit, though.
Yeah, yes.
So that's what's going on there. The Drudge Report is all upset and pointing out how, look at how the libtards are ready to accuse anybody of rape.
Well, you know, the reason they didn't, I heard on CNN, which, you know, I can't tell you how over we should all be. We should be over Wolf Blitzer. I mean, fuck him, honestly, the big stupid face. But CNN has said that what happened was that Rolling Stone didn't reach out to the accusers to get their story because right. That girl said, I don't want you to talk to them. I could, you know.
Oh, she was worried about retaliation or something?
Yeah, so that's why they didn't get their story.
Yeah, you still got to kind of do that, though.
Yeah, that's what people are saying. Yeah, you still have to do your job and report it
but
responsibly.
Yeah,
I guess.
So I mean they're retracting it and they're saying it was shoddy journalism, etc., as they should, and apologies are going all around. But for those on the right to now point and say, see, look, now they're saying it doesn't really happen. You know, they're the ones who think this rape culture doesn't exist. that it's all made up by the liberals and those evil feminists who they hate.
It's like when Mitch McConnell walks outside in December and it's like 55 degrees for some weird reason. He's like, oh, you see? I mean, or it's the opposite, where he walks outside in the middle of summer and it's chilly. There's no global warming.
Right, right.
I got it. It doesn't make any sense.
So this guy, so on Drudge, they're saying, you know, look at this this false accusation of rape culture. Those poor white boys of the fraternity. You can't blame them for when those whores get drunk.
Yeah, okay.
And then decide to say no the next morning.
Right. This one was wrong, but I'm trying to remember. There are other stories regarding rape in the news, right?
Well, and cases of cover-ups by school officials and by coaches, especially if these guys can throw, catch, run, hit the ball.
Yes.
Then
who gives a shit?
Then especially it gets pushed under the rug, these rape allegations. This Jameis Winston now is going through some shit too. Winston is going through an investigation. Winston now. That he says he's being falsely accused of rape also.
Right.
And they're having these hearings saying that they want to know, there's a student code going on or a student evaluation going on, finding whether he violated the state, Florida State's honor code.
Wait. Florida State's what?
I know, right? I beg your pardon. But here's a case where this is an African-American gentleman, a black man.
Yes.
But, you know, he can throw the ball, catch the ball, run the ball.
Oh, wait.
Therefore, he gets accepted into he gets protection from the big white man. And, you know, you got to sweep that under the rug so that Florida State can make some money.
Listen, that you said something very important there. You mentioned the big white man. And you really, it's important to court the big white man,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you think the white establishment that runs these sports franchises and everything looks at all their players as, I'm not saying everybody, but looks at their players as people? Look at fucking Sheldon. No, not Sheldon. He doesn't. What was the guy's name who lost the Clippers?
Oh, God. You know what? It's so great that we forgot his name, though.
That is kind of good, yeah.
That asshole.
But like him, I mean, he was like, I don't want you being seen with him in public. I don't want you being seen with a black guy in public. So you tell me that guy looked upon his players as humans? And he came out and said, I took care of them. I paid them millions of dollars. That ain't looking at that person as an equal. That's looking at that person as a pet.
Yeah, but yeah, and fuck him, by the way. Donald Sterling, correct?
Donald Sterling, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he's your product, by the way. That is the only reason people are tuning in to watch your stupid team, is because you have talented players on the basketball court. Now, if you take them away and they give you the ball to shoot it, no one is going to give a shit, right, you dumbass. Right.
But that's the same mindset that says, well, you know, was slavery that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Was slavery, okay. They had a roof over their heads. They had a job. They were... You know, not all of them were beaten. Not all of them were raped. Some of them were treated nicely.
Hey, they were three-fifths.
You're right. They didn't have to vote. Who can, you know?
It was great, too. And what would happen when the owners were done, like, abusing their property, they would just go back to work and write our Constitution.
God, and some...
That no one could question, no matter why.
I remember some right-wing asshole one time said, hey... You know, human beings live to work and they love it. So the slave guys, the slave masters provided work for these people to give them self-esteem. Anyway, we got to stop here, ladies and gentlemen. That music means that it is time to wrap up the show here. Crab Diving is here, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific. 5 to 7 every weekday for your ear holes live. We then rerun throughout the evening as a podcast, or as a podcast. No, well, we rerun live, and then we put it out as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and crabdiving.com. Listen to all the other great episodes of all the other great stuff going on here tonight. We got a brand new Hollywood Hick, 7 p.m. Tomorrow, a brand new Cantalinguists at 4 p.m. Keep an eye on crabdiving.com to see what's coming up and what's happened there. Follow us on the Twitter at crabdiving.com, Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving. And don't forget, Ryan Pfeiffer is going to be in the Panhandle the next couple of weeks, spreading his comedian type of love around.
Oh, yes.
And you can find out where. He'll tweet it out for you. Go to Rated R Comedy and follow him.
Yes, and follow very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter at Vile Experience, oh so vile.
And all our information and our show, our network, everything is at crabdiving.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great fucking weekend.
DTFN.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on Twitter and Instagram at crabdiving.